this is obviously a very big sugya. It's a big topic. Right? If you want to really learn the topic properly, you can go on to Why You Torah. You can listen to Rabbi Simon. He did a whole series on beards. Yeah, Rabbi Simon has a new sefer coming out on Minhagim. He told me on Thursday he was very excited about that. I'm excited to get my hands on that as well. Okay, so obviously this is a big topic. You can't really do it in the next hour, which we're going to try to do it. But at least to get a sense of what the sugya is about. Right? Obviously the sugya starts not in the Gemara, but it starts in the Chumash. Okay, there are two psukim. There are two main psukim in the Torah that speak about the prohibition of shaving in a destructive form. Okay, what exactly is the nature of it? How does it work? And we'll see that the two psukim really work hand in hand. It's not two separate psukim creating two separate yisurim, but it's really two psukim that are working together to spell out for us a picture of one isser. The isser, which I guess we could describe in English as what? As shaving in a destructive fashion. Okay, and we'll see as we learn it, we'll see why both those parts are integral. The first place we encounter it is in source number one, in Parshas Kedoshim. In Parshas Kedoshim, Perikutes, there's a series, a long list of mitzvos lo sasei, and on that list, right, is the mitzvah lo sasei of destroying one's beard. Lo sochlu al adam, lo senachashu velo seonenu, don't be involved in various types of omens and signs. Lo sakifu pa'as roshchem, which is not today's topic. Do not round off the pa'as, the corners, the edge of one's head. Okay, that's pe'as harosh. It's a separate topic, although they're together in Shulchan Aruch, Niyardei Arish Pe'alif. Okay, we're going to focus on the next few words. Velo sashchis es pa'as zikonecha. And do not destroy, let's be careful with the words here. Lo sashchis, do not destroy the pa'as zikonecha. V'sar lenefesh lo sitnu, b'v'sarchem, don't cut yourself over a mace. Uksovas kaka lo sitnu b'chem, ani Hashem, don't get tattoos. A whole strange list that's somehow all of these lo sases are put together. Again, shaving one's head and shaving the beard are two separate yisurim. Okay, but we're going to focus on lo sashchis es pa'as zikonecha. What does it mean, don't destroy? Sashchis, we understand, right? Don't destroy. What exactly does it mean, the pa'as zikonecha? How would you translate the word pa'as? Okay, so we'd say the corner or the edge. Right, if you look in source number two, Rashi in Maseches Shruis says, upeya lashon sof uktzehu. Right, the word peya means the end or the edge of something. And the examples that Rashi brings are not from rounding off the corners of one's head, right, or destroying the edge of one's beard, but he actually brings rayas from earlier in Chumash, where in Parsha Shmos, kimo lifas yam lifas negev. What does that mean? The western end, the southern end. What's that talking about? Parsha Truma. Talking about the Mishkan. Right? It's describing the dimensions and the sides of the Mishkan, and it refers to the various sides as what? As the pa'as, the edge or the end, the side of something. Okay, so don't destroy. Pasuk says, don't destroy the edge, the end, the side of your beard. Now, we don't know what destroying means. Just to go slow now for a second. We don't know what destroying means. We have to define what destroying means. And we have to define what constitutes an end or an edge. Where's the edge of my face? Where's the edge of my beard? Okay? So those are things that we're going to need to define as we go. There's a second pasuk in the Torah. A second pasuk that is a related pasuk. It's a parsha later in Parsha's Emor. My bar mitzvah parsha. And it's describing, again, shaving one's beard, specifically in the context of Kohan. Right? Parsha's Emor comes after Parsha's Kedoshim. The Ibn Ezra explains at the beginning of Emor that after we learn the Kedusha, that every Jew is supposed to have Kedusha's Klal Yisrael. So there are those people who live on a higher standard of Kedusha. That's what Parsha's Emor is. That's Ibn Ezra's introduction to Emor. That Emor comes to now say, in addition to the lofty level that every Jew is supposed to live on, Kedoshim to you, and everything, all these examples that are found throughout Parshas Kedoshim, there's a higher level that's expected, a higher standard of purity that's expected from a Kohen. A Kohen can only be metameh to certain relatives, right? When the relative passes away. And when a person is mourning those relatives, it says specifically in the context of Kohanim, what does it say? Source number three, lo yikarchu karcha berosham, don't make a bald spot on your head as a sign of mourning. That was a practice that some people had as a sign of mourning to show their terrible distress. They would make holes in their heads, bald spots in their heads. Upa'asikanam lo yigalechu. People would also shave their beard. Interesting, the dafka, the opposite, right? When a person is an avel, we dafka allow the beard to grow. Right? But apparently, the Kohanim are being told, don't do like many non-Jews do when they mourn, by making bald spots in their head, or shaving their beards. Uvisaram lo yisvitu saratis, don't gash your flesh, don't cut yourself as a sign of mourning. Because again, these are not the ways that a Kohen should act. These are not the ways that a Jew should act. So we have these two psukim. Again, we have one pasuk, just to be clear on the Lashonos. The first pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim says what? Don't destroy, sashchis, don't destroy the edge of your beard. And that pasuk was said to who? To all of Klal Yisrael. And then you have a second pasuk in Amor that uses a different phrase. It says, don't what? Yigalechu, don't shave. It doesn't say destroy, it says don't shave the edge of your beard. And it was said specifically to Kohanim, and perhaps in the context of mourning. Okay, so now we have the background, we have the psukim, and we now need to somehow put them together. Again, we know the pieces. We know what we're looking for. But again, we have to define what is an edge. What is the end of the face? What is the edge of the face? Basically three questions, three things we need to work out now, right? What is the edge of the face? Number two, what is the halachic definition of hashchasa, destroying, as opposed to giluach, shaving, right? These two phrases in the two psukim. What does it mean, lo sashchis? What does it mean, lo yigalechu? And the third thing we have to figure out is shaving for Kohanim and destroying for Yisraelim. Like what part of the Isser was said to all of Klal Yisrael? What part of the Isser was only for Kohanim? Okay, these are the basic three questions that we need to solve. Okay, so now we're ready to delve into the sugya and the Gemara. Where in Shas does one look up the laws of shaving? Or Besechta? Makos. Besechas Makos. Okay, Besechas Makos, the third parak is called Elu Hein Halokin. These are they who get lashes. And what does it do in the third parak of Makos? It puts together for us a partial list of those who get Malkus. Cases, violations of Torah, for which one gets Malkus. I say a partial list because how many things can a person get Malkus for? It's a good stat, it's a good little yediyah, Jewish trivia. How many things, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Yutes, says you can get Malkus for how many things? Take a guess.
6.
How many?
26.
26? 30. Higher.
Oh, 600.
207 things. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? So if you're looking in Elohein HaLokin, for everything you get Malkus for, you're not going to find it in the third parak of Malkus. It's not all there. It's a partial list. The entire list is 207 things. You could go look at the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Yutes, where he points out that there are 207 things you get Malkus for. Okay? I think the Rambam puts together the list for us. I think so. Okay? So if you look in the third Mishnah in the third parak of Malkus, which appears in Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. The third parak begins in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. By the third Mishnah, Daf Chaf, in source number 4, right, we come to our psukim. And again, the Mishnah is continuing to list things you get Malkus for. HaKoreach Karcha Berosho. If you make a bald spot in your head, you get Malkus for that. HaMakif Pa'as Rosho. If you round off the corner of your head, you get Malkus for that. HaMashnas Pa'as Zikano. If you destroy the edge of your beard, you get Malkus for that. Okay, these are all these examples that we saw in our psukim. Then the Mishnah goes on and starts to give us a little bit more of a definition of what is Aser, where it's bolded. Al azakan, shtayim mikan, ushtayim mikan, va'achas milamata. Aha. So the Mishnah says there are 5 points on the beard that are not allowed to be destroyed. 2 on each side and 1 below. Again, that's still pretty vague. What does that mean, 2 on each side and 1 below? I don't know what that means. Rebbe Eliezer omerim nitlu kulan va'achas inu chayiv alachas. Rebbe Eliezer says if you shave all 5 points of the beard, you shave off your whole beard, you destroy the whole beard in one shot, it's how many Yisurim? Rebbe Eliezer says 1. Mashma, the Tanakhama holds what? That for each of the 5 points on your face, there's a separate Isser. That doesn't mean that the Monei HaMitzvos are going to count, right? 5 different, of the 613 mitzvos, they're not going to count 5 losases for shaving. But you should just realize, says the Tanakhama, and this is how we paskin, that for each spot on the face, again, we don't know where these spots are yet, but we're getting closer to, we know that now that there are 5 spots. For each spot on the face, you're chayav, you're in violation of this los asay of the Torah, for destroying that particular spot. Concludes the Mishnah, ve'eino chayav, where it's bolded, ad shi'atlenu betar. You're not chayav unless you remove it, yatlenu, remove it betar, with a razor. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, afilu laktu b'malket o berehitni chayav. Okay, I know you want to probably say Malakit, it's actually pronounced Malkit or Rehitni. What are Malkit and Rehitni? Rashi says they're various types of planes. Not airplanes, right? But a plane is a tool that's used for what? For smoothing out wood. For leveling wood. Okay? No one would ever use that on their face. It's not normal to shave with such a thing. But Rabbi Eliezer says, if you took this thing and said, I'll beat the system. This is not a razor, right? This is just a tool that's used for smoothing out wood. Right? Says Rabbi Eliezer, a person who removes his beard with these types of tools is also chayiv. Okay? The Rambam and the Parashat Mishnah understood Malkit and Rehitni as tweezers. If you pluck out your beard entirely, that might also be a violation. Okay, Machlokes Rishonim exactly what these tools are, but at least Rabbi Eliezer expands it beyond a razor.
Okay?
Okay, so we don't know enough yet. We're going to have to say.
You said tar is a blade?
A blade, a razor blade. That's right. Now, how did the Mishnah know that? Okay? How did the Mishnah know that it's only for using a razor? How did the Mishnah figure that out? And where are these 5 points on the face? Again, we know we're looking for 5 points. Where they are, we don't really know. So if you look in source number 5, the Gemara, about a daf later, tells us something which is not so helpful, unless we had a videotape.
How do we try
Again, it's some type of tool that's used for smoothing out wood. So the same way that it can remove any of the bumpy spots on a piece of wood that I'm trying to level out to build a house, so I could also, in theory, put it against my face and scrape off my hair, my beard. Okay, the Rambam, again, the Parash Mishnah understands it more like a tweezer, but Rashi in various places in Shas understood it as some type of device that, again, is like more like a blade that's used to level out a piece of wood. Yeah. Do I have an extra pen or pencil? Sure. I always do. There you go. Okay. So again, where are these 5 spots on the face? So the Gemara says, the daf later, in source number 5, Machvei Rav Sheshes Bein Pirkei Dikna. Rav Sheshes pointed Bein Pirkei Dikna between the joints of the beard. Okay, well, if I was in Rav Sheshes this year, then I would know exactly where the 5 spots are, but I wasn't in Rav Sheshes. So where are these between the joints of the beard? I mean, it's still helpful. It gets us a little closer. But where is it? Where are the 5 points? I don't want to suggest. Any suggestions? Sam, what do you say? Over there?
1, 2.
The joints are saying to the back. Towards back, the back of the jaw.
Back of the jaw. Chin,
okay.
And cheekbones.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to say like kind of the top of the jaw, the bottom of the jaw, and the chin is that place, milamata, that the Mishnah is describing.
5 points.
Okay. Okay. Could be. Could be.
I don't know about over here. I think it's over here.
Yeah.
You think it's higher up?
It's right over the thighs.
Okay, so you think, the Torah says, don't round off the corner of your head. The Peyos HaRosh, so you kind of want to suggest where the Peyos HaRosh end is where the, right, where the edge of the head ends is where the edge of the beard begins.
They're not the same thing. The Peyos HaRosh is 2 to 5 points. Are they?
Otherwise, no, they're not. They're two separate things.
So they're right next to each other.
No, but what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying is that where the Peyos HaRosh ends, right, where the edge of the so meaning there's like a link. There's the head, and then there's the beard. There's the hair of the head, and there's the hair of the beard, and they both have like an edge. I mean, there's a point where they meet. So wherever the end of the Peyos HaRosh is where the right the other end of the beard begins.
The Peyos HaRosh end over here.
I don't know where the Peyos HaRosh end. Maybe that'll be another week's share. We're talking edge of beard. Pa'as
HaZakan. What about the mustache? Is that fitting at all?
Yeah. Okay, we'll have to see. Right. Could we say that the edge somehow lands somewhere near the mustache? Okay, Rabbeinu Chanan talks about that. Okay, so we're still not so clear, but we're getting a little more clear. We know at least now we're looking for 5 spots. Okay, what about our other question? What applies to Kohanim and what applies to Yisraelim? What is Hashchasa? What is Giluach? So again, just to give us the broad strokes before we get to the nitty-gritty details, if you look in source number 6, the Gemara in Makos, also on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, puts together the Psukim to come up with one Isser. And here's how the Gemara did it. Now we'll actually understand how to read Chumash. How do you read the Pasuk in Kedoshim in conjunction with the Pasuk in Amor? Tanu Rabbanan, Upasik Anam Lo Yigalechu, the Pasuk in Amor, Yachol Afilu Galcho B'Misparayim Yechayiv. Maybe even if I shave with a scissor, I'm chayiv. Talmud Lomar, that's where we bring in the pasuk in Kedoshim, lo sashkes, don't destroy the beard. Apparently cutting the beard with a scissor does not destroy the beard. Right? My beard is shorter, but I haven't destroyed it. Destroying sounds like you're removing it completely. E lo sashkes, if it only said don't destroy. So I would think, what? Im lakdu b'malkid v'rehidni yechayiv. Since I could take a tool that's used for smoothing wood, I could put it against my face, and I could scrape off my beard entirely, so that would accomplish destroying. Talmud Lomar lo yigalechu. don't shave. Right? So I need, the bottom line, the Gemara is saying is, you're only in violation of this Isser, combining these two psukim, if you achieve two things. Number one, the tool you're using is a tool that is commonly used for shaving, not for leveling wood. And number two, the tool has to be something that is destructive to the beard. Right? Ha-ketzah, says the Gemara. Giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. You see what the Gemara does? You have lo yigalechu in Parshas Emor. You have lo sashchis in Parshas Kedoshim. Says the Gemara, you're only in violation of this chiyav if it's a giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. If it's a shaving, which means it's a normal, something normal to put to your face, right? Which destroys, havei omer zetar. There's only one thing that falls into that category, and that is what? A razor, commonly used for shaving, right? And definitely removes the beard entirely. Yes?
Isn't the pasuk of destroying first?
It is. So this is why we have Torah Shavuot Peh. You might have thought these are two, and what you see here also is that it's not that there's an Isser for Kohanim, and there's a separate Isser for Yisraelim, right? The Torah tells us don't destroy the beard. Later in Parshas Emor, or Parshas later, it reveals to us how that works, right? When we told you in Parshas Kedoshim, don't destroy the beard, we meant don't destroy it using a mechanism, right, that is normally used for shaving. Okay, but if it's something that is not normal for shaving, if we come up with a way to destroy the beard, right, if it's something that's not used for shaving, or if I'm going to cut the beard in a way that's not destroying it, such as using a scissor, so that would seemingly be permissible. Okay?
The Gemara has yet to distinguish between
right, the Gemara makes it sound like there is no distinction. That we shouldn't draw a distinction between Klai Yisrael and Kohan. Okay? It's just the Torah is revealing different points of one collective Isser at various stages. But it's one Isser. There is no distinction between Kohan. Okay, why the Torah split it up that way is an interesting question. But the way Chazal understood it is it's one story. Don't destroy the beard with something that is normally used for shaving. Okay, yeah, Rabsam.
But not to get all like wordy, destroy and using razor. Like when I hear the word destroy, it means like you're taking it out and it's not coming back. Meaning,
okay,
razor is not that.
Right, so you're saying
razor, you get it much closer.
Okay,
but it's coming back.
Okay. Okay. Yes, yeah, so we have to think about that. I mean, the Gemara is understanding clearly that if you remove it completely, you've destroyed it. It will grow back. Okay, Nachanam, it'll grow back. But you've, right now, you've destroyed it. You walk down the street right now, someone says to you, your beard has been destroyed, right? In Achanami, in a couple days, it'll be back. But right now, you violated the Torah's prohibition of destroying one's beard. Yeah?
Was it common for people to use the tool in source 4 that a real owner says?
No, not. It's not. It's a tool that's used for building houses and for crafting chairs.
What about something similar?
It's not normal to put it on your face. So we have to see, we have to define. So there are certain societal dimensions here, meaning what is normal to put on one's face, right? This was not a tool. No, this tool that's being mentioned is not a tool that was used for shaving. So the Tanakhama seems to say, okay, so you can kind of beat the system with this tool. This is not normal to shave. The world does not shave, right, with a malkate, with a plane. That's what it's called, a plane. It levels. Both. There are various types of instruments that are used, but they're not normally used on a person's body. Okay, Rabbi Elazar says, well, if you try to use them, it still destroys your beard, so you're in violation. Tanakham says that's not true. Because that's not a normal shaving device. You need two requirements to be in violation. You need two things to be fulfilled to be in violation of this Isser. It's normal to shave with it, and it destroys your beard. Okay, if it's normal to shave with, such as a scissor, but it doesn't destroy, mutter. Or so it seems. If it's something that destroys, like a plane for leveling wood, right, but it's not normal to shave with, also permissible. Okay, comes along the Rivan in source number 7. Who's the Rivan? Where do you look up a Rivan? Is that a separate sefer? The Rivan is the commentary in the third parak of Makos from Daf Yutes Amud Beis and on. Who wrote the first half of the commentary? Or more than first half. Who wrote most of the commentary on Makos? Rashi. The Rivan takes over for Rashi on Daf Yutes Amud Beis. Why does the Rivan take over for Rashi on Daf Yutes Amud Beis? Because Rashi passed away. He was in the middle of writing his commentary on Makos, maybe other Masechtos simultaneously, and Rashi passed away. It's amazing. If you look in the Gemara, right before the Rivan takes over, it says, you don't have it in front of you, but it says, Rabbeinu Gufo Tahor, Rabbeinu Rashi, his guf was pure, V'yatza Nishmaso B'tara, and his soul departed with purity, Lo Piresh Yoser, Right, this is where Rashi's commentary ends. Makus Yotesam Advis. Mikan Ve'elech Lashon Talmido, the Rivan, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nasan. That's who takes over from Yotesam Advis. Okay, he was a Talmud of Rashi. Not only was he a Talmud of Rashi, he was a son-in-law of Rashi. He was married to Rashi's daughter Miriam, Rashi's second daughter. Okay, so this is the Rivan. Comes along the Rivan. What's it?
Any other mustafas that he didn't have on? Or?
That Rashi didn't write on? Sure. Sure. There are definitely other. And there are other places where Rashi seems to drop out in the middle. Okay, but Amakos, Rashi makes it to Yod Tesama base. Comes along the Rivan to make the Gemara a little bit more clear for us. And he explains as follows in Source 7. Derech legaleach bo umashchis v'hainu tar. Again, you need a combination of two factors. A giluach sheish bo hashchasa means it's derech, it's normal to shave with it. And it destroys the beard, and that is a razor. The razor is the only thing that meets those categories. Aval, now listen carefully to these next few words, because we're going to have to see how it plays out in halach. Aval rehitni, but to use a plane. Mashtis ve'ein derech legaleach bo. It's the way of a plane. Yes, it can destroy if you remove your beard entirely, but it's not normal to shave with such a device. Okay, misbarayim, using scissors, megalchin, scissors what? It's normal to trim with, to shave with, the ain mashchitzim, but they don't destroy. Now already you should start thinking, what if I could create a scissor that does destroy? So where would that fall? Right? What if I could create a scissor that would destroy? A scissor that could shave so close. Meaning, is the Rivan saying, you know why a scissor is mutter? It's because it can't destroy the beard entirely. You can't fully remove the beard. What if I could come with technology to remove the beard with a scissor, right? To such a degree that it leaves no trace of the beard. Okay, I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but that's what you should be thinking in reading this comment from the Rivan. And this is how Rashi again summarizes the whole sugya. In his commentary in Parshas Emor, in source number 8, Levisha Nemar be Yisrael, lo sashkas. It says, by all Jews, don't destroy. Yachol laktu b'malki v'ritni, lakach Nemar lo yigalechu. It adds the lo yigalechu by Kohanim, she'eno chayiv el al davar akari giluach, v'yesh bo ashchasa, v'zeu tam. Okay, so sof kol sof, there are not two separate Yisurim here, and that's how the Monei HaMitzvos counted. If you look through the Monei HaMitzvos, the Rambam, in Los Asei Mem Dalet, the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Reishon Beis, the Smag in Los Asei Nun Ches, the Smak in Mitzvah Ayin, everyone counts it as one Israel. I will just point out, this again is not our discussion right now, but the Bahag, interestingly enough, does actually count two separate Yisurim. Okay, so from all the Monei HaMitzvos, the Rambam, the Chinuch, the Smag, the Smak, they all say there's one. The way the Gemara seems to put together the two Psukim, the Bahag does count Kohanim, upa'as zikanam lo yigalechu, as a separate iser, any Kohanim in the room? Kohanim in the room. Okay, so Kohanim have to watch out. It could be, again, maybe it's only in the context of mourning, but the Kohanim may have a separate prohibition, an additional prohibition, all the more so. If Yisrael can't destroy his beard, a Kohen has an additional lav of destroying his beard. Okay, this sheet of the Bahag is discussed by Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau in his famous work, his three-volume work on Rav Sadyugon. But again, most of the Monei HaMitzvos don't even entertain that possibility. Like Pashup Shah, like Rashi and Chumash brings, you need the combination of the Psukim, Lo Sashtis, and Lo Yigalechu to form one issue. So how do we paskim? Again, there's a lot here, but Halacha L'maaseh, how do we paskim? How about the first question, the 5 points of the face, right? We know that there's 5 points, and Rav Sheish gave us a little bit of an indication where they might be. But the same way that everyone in this room argued where the 5 places are, the Rishonim had a massive debate. Again, you want to learn this Be'in, you'll listen to those Shirim from Rabbi Simon, where he spends a lot of time on these various Shitos. Okay? But you should just be aware there's many, many Shitos in the Rishonim where, in fact, the 5 points on the face are. The Rashi has a Shita, and the Rambam has a Shita, and Rabbeinu Chananel has a Shita, and the Ravid has a Shita, and the Rivan has a Shita, okay, over there in Makos. So if you look, Halacha L'maaseh, so you open up a Shulchan Aruch, and you look in the Bir HaGra, where he brings all the various Shitas, and then the Gra says, Shitas Rashi is Iker. Okay, great. So, I'll be Sobech on the Gra. The 5 points on the face, I'll follow Shitas Rashi. You know what the problem is? What Rashi held is also Machlokas. And what Rabbeinu Chananel held is also Machlokas. And there's layers upon layers of Machlokas amongst the Achronim. What did the Rishonim hold? Despite that, the Rishonim themselves are describing the 5 points entirely different. So we're really tied up at the end and we're not sure what to do. So what does a Jew do when there's a suffix of this degree. Assuming the Tanakhama is correct that there are 5 points, and more than that, each spot is its own Isser. I'm going to start playing around with these various Shitas of Rishonim. Even if I wanted to follow the Gra, I still wouldn't know how to do it. The Shitas Rashi is Iker. I still don't even know what Shitas Rashi is. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 9, Yoridei Kuf Pei Aleph, Sif Yud Aleph, there are 5 points. There are many shitos. And therefore, a God-fearing individual will not take a razor to his face. Because again, there are spots on your face that you could shave with a razor. I know it sounds radical. We're so used to thinking a razor can never go on a Jewish face. There are spots on a Jewish face that a razor can go.
When you say razor, you mean?
A razor. Razor blade. Razor blade, like the commercials.
Yeah, like sometimes they ask you to shave the back of your neck.
Okay, no problem. No problem. But as far as where the 5 points in the face, Rabu Behemadeos, and therefore Yari Shemayim doesn't go there. Okay? So that's the
under your throat.
Okay, Vafilu Tachas Agon. Yeah, because our Shitas Rishonim that say that down to like your Adam's apple is still considered the lower point of the beard.
The hardest issue with the razor.
Okay? So yeah, be careful over there. Yeah, be careful if you're going to go there. Okay, but this is what a Yari Shemayim does. He avoids the whole thing. So this is a razor. No, so Rabosai, what was the halacha l'maisa by scissors? So let's come back to scissors now. Anyone here shave with a razor? No. Okay, great. So what about scissors? What was the Gemara's conclusion by scissors? You read the Gemara, Pashup Shad, and the Gemara was that scissors is fine. That was Pashup Shad in the Gemara. That only a razor is a problem, but scissors would be allowed. But again, we looked at the words of the Rivan. The Rivan said, because scissors can't destroy the beard, so come back to the question, what if scissors could destroy the beard? Meaning, is it a prerequisite? Is the assumption of the Gemara that scissors are mutter simply because they cannot fully remove the beard? In which case, we have to reassess if scissors could destroy the beard. Look at the Mukhe Yosef in source 10. It's even more clear, I think, than the Rivan. The Mukhe Yosef takes the place of the Ran in the back of the Gemara Makos, where the Ran is often around the Rif. It's the Mukhe Yosef in various Masechtos. So the Mukhe Yosef writes, "Dechsev lo sashchis, aval misparayim muta." You're allowed to use scissors. The less behu hashchasa. Scissors cannot destroy. Why? Sharei nikar sham haseyar kizmafarish v'gemara. Because the hair remains in place. If you trim with this, if you took a regular scissor and tried to trim your beard, right, you'd have maybe a pretty short beard, but if you rubbed your hand on your face, you can still feel something. It's not an absolutely clean shave. Okay? So it sounds that scissors are acceptable, but again, is it only because scissors can't destroy the beard? How much do we need to be medayik from the Nemuk Yosef's words? Is it scissors are mutter because they can't destroy the beard? Or no, scissors normally don't destroy beards, and therefore all scissors would be permitted even if it could destroy beards. It's unclear, halacha l'maisa, what the story with scissors is. Especially when you look at Shita's Haramba. The Rambam Shita is debated, what exactly did the Rambam hold when it comes to scissors? The Rambam writes in source 11, Eino chayev ad shigal chenu b'ta'ar. You're not chayev unless you use a razor. Shenemar v'lo sashtis es pasikonecha, gilu ashesh ba'ashvasa. L'fichach, says the Rambam, if a person shaves his beard with scissors, potter. You see it in source 11? The Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah. That's why Sam's guess that the sugi would be found in Sachas Avodah Zarah was a good guess. Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah says, if you shave your beard with scissors, potter. Now what is potter? He didn't say mutter, he said potter. How do you understand potter? So let's go back to just a couple halachas, one halacha before, where the Rambam describes rounding off one's head. Okay, now we don't know anything about that, sugya. But the Rambam writes in source 12, umutter l'laked ha-peos b'misparayim. When it comes to the peos of the head, it's mutter to remove them, right, with scissors. Okay, so he uses mutter when he wants to say something is mutter with scissors. So therefore comes along the Sefer HaChinuch in source 13, and the Sefer HaChinuch understood Shitas HaRambam that even though a razor is the primary isser for destroying your beard, a scissor to the beard is what? Is pater, aval, aser. It's also not allowed. Now we'll have to give a svar for that, and we will in a minute, but the Sefer HaChinuch says in Shitas HaRambam, where it's bolded in source 13, Kasav HaRam, Zichrono Levracha, if you shave with scissors pater, Nira Midvarav, Dafka Paterhu. Aval aser lasos kim. The efshar shia inyan b'megalech b'sparayim ke'ein ta'a. The Rambam says pater, and I understand that says the Sefer HaChinuch, that means that it's pater, aval aser, you may not use scissors. And it could be that what he meant, right, meaning what, if I have my beard is 6 feet long, I can't even trim off the tip? The Rambam would go so far, that's aser. Right? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, well, maybe he meant b'sparayim ke'ein ta'a, scissors that are razor-like. Okay, so maybe scissors that could cut in a close way, even though you'll say, but it's not a razor, it's only scissors. Maybe that's where the Rambam says, yeah, you still can't do that. You're still not allowed to do that. It's not the primary Isser of the Torah, it's not the Isser Darais of using a razor, but it's still Usser to shave so closely, even with scissors. Others understood the Rambam differently. The Minchas Chinuch on the side of the Sefer HaChinuch, right, the Minchas Chinuch came along, and he said, I disagree. He cites the Kesef Mishnah in source 14, that what? The Kesef Mishnah explained, Das Rambam, the Mutter Af L'Charchila. Then no, scissors are absolutely permitted. It's not beating the system. It's not a trick. Scissors are allowed. The Torah says you can't use a razor. We don't have to take upon more than what the Torah said. V'gam mitzara svara nirakach. And in svara, it makes sense to say it this way. Why? D'maga by peyos harosh, where there are shitos that say what? That you're chayev with even using something other than a razor. By peyos harosh, where there are rishonim who hold that what? That you're not allowed to destroy the peyos harosh with something other than a razor. And what did the Rambam say? The Rambam, we read it, the Rambam said, peyos harosh, you want to use scissors? What did he say? Mutter. Meaning the Rambam, who's lenient about peyos harosh, where there's a big tumult, if you're allowed to use other things, he allows 100%. So then mikol shekein, by the beard, where everyone agrees that the primary isser is only what? The isser Torah, everyone will agree is what? Is only a razor. So again, if the Rambam held that by peyos harosh, where some say scissors are the primary isser, the Rambam says not mutter. So by the beard, where everyone agrees that the razor is the primary isser, the Rambam certainly, when he said pater, he didn't mean pater aval aser. He meant pater mutter. He meant mutter. Why did he say mutter? Is a good question. But the Minchas Chinuch feels the Rambam Shita, when it comes to scissors, is totally mutter. Okay, now again, what's the svara? What's the svara to think that scissors should be aser? The Gemara seems to only highlight a razor. So you think you can say one of two svaras. And I think we could probably think of both of them. And the Ritva, I think this is what he's saying in source 15. The Ritva is saying these two svaras. Right? Meaning the Gemara concludes that a razor is aser and scissors are mutter. Says the Ritva in source 15, the chein hilchasa, that's the halacha. Scissors are mutter. Okay? However, umishur asadin, kol shuba misparayim afilu ke'ein tar mutter. Me'ikra din, scissors, even scissors that can mimic a razor. Me'ikra din. Should be entirely permitted. But I can give you two svaras to say maybe to avoid scissors in such a fashion. Avamidus chasidim. Shalolasos kein mipnech shad haroim. Problem number one is maris ayin. Maris ayin. If you're walking around clean shaven, some people say, oh, Jews are allowed to shave. So a normal person will say, well, how should I shave? I'll go to the store, I'll buy a regular shaver. Right? Like the shavers you see on the commercials. So it's maris ayin. And therefore, maybe to use a scissor that's going to shave in such a way would be prohibited because of marasayin. V'chein ro'oi la'asos, and this is a proper practice. This is not just a minhag chasidim for those who are extra righteous. This makes a lot of sense as the Ritva. V'od amru betosmos, ki gam misparayim yish lizar, v'bnei sha'azug shalmata mash nisketar. There's another concern with using scissors. That depending on how sharp my scissors are, even though scissors, the mechanism that is normal to use is a cutting, where two blades are cutting something. But I could also come to what? I could come to scrape with just the blade of the scissor. If I'm not careful. If the scissors are not both moving, if I hold the lower blade in place, I might come to actually do the cutting, the scraping, with the lower blade, and that would be what? That would be mamish, like using a razor. So that might be an additional reason to avoid using scissors. And he says, Rav Yaakov Mikutzi, right, used to tell his barber, be very careful when you're trimming my beard with scissors, that you don't come to this cause. That might be a reason to be concerned about scissors. Yeah?
That's like a mamash, but actually the problem. Even when you use your electric shavers, when you feel the pull, that's what's happening.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll have to see. Is that plucking feeling, right? Is that... Again, we don't know what an electric shaver is yet. I'm very into not knowing something until we know it. So we don't know. I don't even know that an electric shaver exists.
What is it?
If it exists. All I know is a couple of psukim, a couple of shulchan aruchs, a couple of rambams, and chaschina, charitva. That's all we know so far. But you're right. We'll have to see. Okay, now I just want to touch on this one point of Maris Ayin, because again, those who, we'll see, obviously there are those who are makel about using an electric shaver, right? Do I have to, how much do I have to think about this ritva? Let's say I can get around all the technical halachic issues of a shaver, of an electric shaver. Do I have to be choshesh for Maris Ayin, bizman hazeh? If a Jew is walking around today, down the street, and he's clean shaven, do I have to be worried about Maris Ayin? Very interesting question, no? So I saw, last Shabbos, I was looking at Rav Asher Weiss's Minchas Asher, Shalos and Tshuva's Minchas Asher, and he says an interesting thing in the first volume. He writes, it's a tshuva about Maris Ayin in general, specifically with regard to Basar B'chalav, but he writes there something very, very interesting. He says, Amnam kesavti makam acher, beguf ha-sugya de Maris Ayin. This is in the Minchas Asher, volume 1, Shalos and Tshuva, Simen Samach Vav. You don't have it in front of you, you just have the Mar Makam on the page in front of you, but I'll read it to you from the Sefer. He says, with regard to this sugya Maris Ayin, legabi giluach b'mechonos giluach hamutaros al pi halacha, those who rely on those shitos that you and electric shavers, right? Do you have to be worried about Maris Ayin? V'lachin gabi nashim halov shos peos nachrios. The same question about women who wear shetels. A woman who wears a shetel, maybe it's Maris Ayin. People are going to think that she's walking around with her hair uncovered. They don't realize it's a wig. Do I have to be choshesh for such a thing? Says Rav Asher Weiss, the ein iser mitzad Maris Ayin. If we can get around the technical problems of using an electric shaver, Rav Asher feels it's not a question of Maris Ayin. Why? He bases himself, he says, on a rush in Meseches Nida. The after mavur lahedi b'mishnah, even though the Mishnah in Klaim says that wearing various types of silk are usur, because what? Because it looks like you're wearing shatness. Ein ze ela b'yameh. The rush says that's only in the olden days. But nowadays, where what? Where everyone knows you can get these types of things that are mutter. Everyone knows you can have materials that look like linen and wool, and it's not linen and wool. There's an abundance of such things. Bizmat is that there's no chashash that someone's going to think, oh my gosh, it looks like he's wearing linen and wool. And that's how it's passing in the Shulchan Aruch, by the laws of shatness. So says Rav Asher, Harei de kol de shchichi tuva, whenever something is common, meaning whenever it's widespread enough that there isn't acceptable, that it's normal for Jewish women to wear shetels, and there are halakhically acceptable ways to shave one's beard, lama nachshosh l'maris ayin l'chshada. Why should there be maris ayin? And he says even stronger. He says, halo kol sheyesh lo leiv tov, any decent Jew, right, who has an ayin tova, as opposed to a person who's always looking at how this Jew's doing this avera and this Jew's doing that avera, ve'eino choshed b'ksheirim, he'll assume that if I see a Jew walking around with a clean-shaven face, he obviously removed his beard in an acceptable way. And if you look at him and say, oh my gosh, what a heretic, what a sinner, so not only, right, is he not guilty of Maris Ayin, but you're guilty of a lack of Avos Yisrael. That's what Rav Asher Weiss writes in his truth. Yeah.
At what point does it become normal?
That's a good question. That's a hard question. That's a hard question. There are a lot of areas of halacha, a surprising amount of areas of halacha, that societal, you know, norms dictate. So that obviously means that the first person, maybe, who started shaving with an electric shaver, even though if the shaver was mutter, was usur because of Maris Ayin. But once it becomes common knowledge that there is such a thing, so then, yeah, exactly how you determine, you know, widespread enough is a good question that the poskim have to deal with. Okay? How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? Halacha l'mais. Again, there's a machlokus. How to understand the Rambam? What's the halacha in Surah 17? Einu chayv al ashchasas paras hazakan el bitar. Avaba misparayim mutter. Afilu kein tar. Very clear. Machaber is clear. The Machaber says you can use a razor, but scissors that are razor-like is mutter. Is mutter. But the Ramah throws in a warning. And it's the warning that we know, what we would expect. Mikol makum. Nizharim kishvistapim misparayim shiasa hekif hagiluach b'chilak ha'elyon min misapor. You should be careful that when you're cutting with scissors, to make sure that the scissors are actually making a cutting motion. Velo b'tachton, you shouldn't come to scrape with the lower blade of the scissor, which is perhaps the sharper blade. Pen yase akol im chela katachton v'havi katar. Because lest you remove the entire beard with the lower blade, and that's like using a razor. And therefore, a person should be very careful about this. Okay? And he's basing himself on the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin, we won't read the Tshuva inside right now, it's an interesting Tshuva, but again, the Trumas Hadeshin was asked by himself, because he wrote his own questions. He discussed the question of whether or not you should be choshesh for using scissors, and again, he says, if the scissors aren't so sharp, it's certainly permissible, but one must be careful about this concern, and that's what the Rambam based himself on. So again, the Shulchan Aruch allows scissors, even sharp scissors, but one has to be careful. Okay, so now we come to the question that everyone's thinking about. We have about 12 minutes left to share. And the question is, what's the story with electric shavers? What's the story with electric shavers?
Yeah.
The Chofetz Chaim wrote a very interesting sefer called Likutei Halachos. The Chofetz Chaim was actually criticized by some people for writing the sefer. What did he do? We know that the Rif summarized the halachic positions of the Gemaras, right? Of all those Gemaras that are Noig Bezman Hazeh. But the Rif did not necessarily bring halacha lemaisa, right? The conclusions in Meseches Zvachim and Menachos, there are certain areas that the Rif didn't write on because it was not halacha lemaisa. There were other areas that the Rif didn't write on for other reasons. The Chofetz Chaim came along and kind of wrote a Rif-like commentary summarizing the Gemaras. And he calls it Likutei Halachos. And then there's a parish on the side, and it has additional, more in-depth comments from the Chofetz Chaim on the bottom. I own the sefer. It's a very nice sefer. He was criticized by some because who are you, even the Chofetz Chaim, to take the place of the Rif? Okay. But it's a chashuv work, it's a valuable work, and he has additions to Meseches Makos. Now, in the commentary that appears on the bottom of the page, the Ein Mishpat, in O Zayin, is on our Sugyan, Makos Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, he writes as follows. V'hine, source 19. This new machine. Chofetz Chaim wrote in his times. Chofetz Chaim passed away when? 1933. Okay, so this is prior to 1933. There's some new device that what? That people are using to shave their beard. And he says it's kita'ar mamish. It's mamish razor-like. Vitolesh haseir. It plucks out the hair legamri. Now, what does he call it? Why is it razor-like? It's razor-like because it's sharp like a razor? It's razor-like because it leaves you clean-shaven like a razor? V'lo nishar ma'uma. It seems to emphasize the fact that it removes the hair entirely. Nothing remains. A person who uses such a machine to remove his beard, lich'ora over alma, shekasu v'pa'asek anam lo yigalechu, v'shomer nafsho yarchik mizeh ma'od. And a person who's careful will guard himself very, very much from this. So again, what's the Chofetz Chaim emphasizing? What's happening here? Let's go back to the Rivan and the Muki Yosef. Right? Is the Chofetz Chaim saying, I want to be Madaik in the Muki Yosef? That what? That only a scissor that doesn't destroy the beard entirely is a scissor that the Gemara allows. But a scissor, a machinery, piece of machinery that could somehow remove the beard to such a degree that lo nishar ma'uma, Chofetz Chaim's words are kita'ar mamish, it's razor-like, even if the mechanism is not razor-like, but it leaves with a razor-clean shave, then that would be awesome. Or maybe you could say, no, the Shulchan Aruch says that scissors that are ka'in tar is allowed, as long as it's a scissor mechanism, even if the byproduct, right, the result is a completely clean shave and face, it's mutter. Okay, the Chofetz Chaim obviously felt like that first svar, that if it leaves you entirely clean shaven, that's going to be a problem. Okay, and that's the pashas of perhaps how one should read the Gemara. And this is the chashash that many, many poskim had. And they say, Alachas kam v'kama. Again, if the Chofetz Chaim passed away, like Sam said, in 1933, Alachas kam v'kama, the devices that we have today, are going to be that much more aser. Because every device is trying to give you an even closer shave. Okay, the Minchas Yitzchak.
But what to Rabbi on what he said.
No, that's fine.
He says that the Talushash.
So it plucks out the hair. It rips out the hair.
Meaning this machine.
Okay, so is he focusing on the plucking mechanism? Is he focusing on lo nishar ma'uma, that nothing remains?
Meaning, like, it's like, I guess the machines now, they don't...
Okay, it's a good question. It's good. What exactly was the Chofetz Chaim worried about? And what was this machine, right?
Let's say you don't remove all the hair. Let's say you leave like a small layer.
Right, so very good. So that's going to be one of the best ways to avoid this problem. Even if you don't want to have a full beard, but if you leave a little something, we'll see, that'll help a lot. That'll help a lot. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Yitzchak Weiss, Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, who passed away in 1989, one of the Gedolei Poskim from our time, beautiful, many, many volumes of Shilas and Tshuvos, okay, contemporary issues. So he quotes this Chofetz Chaim. He said, I had heard about this source from the Chofetz Chaim. I never saw it in print. He said, my dear friend Rav Moshe Sternbach pointed it out to me, that it's in the Chofetz Chaim's Likutei Halachos. And then he says, where it's bolded in source 20, that line where it's bolded, V'nei ha-machonos giluach elektri ha-vekol shekein meinizker la'el kenoda. If the Chofetz Chaim hastered those machines, al-achas kama v'kama, the devices we have today, all the more so, are vadai. Kol shekein, right? He says, it's an obvious kol shekein. To update to modern technology, modern devices, all the more so are going to be problematic. And then he quotes the opinion of the Chazon Ish. Now listen to this. The Chazon Ish, as is known, was very strong in his opposition to using even an electric shaver. And he says, I heard, Rav Moshe Sternbach told me, testimony from Rav Noach Berman, who heard directly from the Chazon Ish, the following. We'll read where it's bolded. Sheshal ba'atzol pi ha-Chazon Ish, that's all. Im nachon ha-shmu, is it true what they say about you, the Chazon Ish? Shu psak she-yari shemayim yesh lo li-zar shalo le-galech b'mechon ha-lektri. Is it true with the Chazon Ish that you paskin, that a person who is a God-fearing individual, yari shemayim, should avoid using an electric shaver? Chazon Ish responded, that's not what I hold. Be'eshev shalo nachon. I don't hold that it's only for people who are yari shemayim, who have an extra level of piety. Ragzeu iser lekol echad. It's for everyone. V'lo liyari shemayim levad. So the Shav Noach Berman asked further, v'shal od ulai yish lachalik. Maybe the machine, a machon, a shik, maybe a shik razor, a shik shaver. Levad yish lasor. So the Chazon Ish says, well, you think I don't know the difference between the different shavers? V'yishiv shekvar asa nisyonos b'chonos kiloch. The Chazon Ish says, I tested it out. How did he test it out? Not on his face, right? He says, I poured some ink on my hand, and I then used this electric shaver on my hand to see what, meaning if is it really going to touch the skin? Is it scraping the skin? Will it remove the ink? And various places in my hand, in fact, were left removed of ink. The ink was entirely removed. So therefore, it's clear to me from my own experience, from my own testing of these devices, that it does in fact come into contact with the flesh. V'havi katar, it's exactly like a razor. V'yesh lasor b'kulu. And therefore it is entirely usur to use such a device. Okay? And he quotes other testimony that the Chazon Ish from other people felt this way, that it's an isur gamur, it's not just a midas chasidus. He quotes to Aaron Cutler, who was also concerned about this. Ad kan l'shono, this is the words of the Minchas Tischak. So what do people rely on? What do people rely on? I'm sure in many communities that we come from, you see many people who are clean shaven. So what is the heter? The Chazon Ish was very strongly against it, as was the Minchas Yitzchak, and Rav Moshe Sternbach, and Rav Aaron Cutler, and there were many who felt that it's just not true. The machine does in fact touch the skin, it removes the, it's such a close shave. So who do they rely on? Who do we rely on, friends? Who do we rely on? Given our name is not Docha Yisirei Torah. That's a very clear halacha. Okay, no? Who do we rely on? Okay, so I want to read you some very interesting testimony from the Sefer Megid Gibbosolim. We quoted the Megid Gibbosolim the other week from Shurkin. Right? Remember his recommendation from Rav Moshe, go buy yourself a notebook and take notes. And you'll see, you'll fill it up with Chidush Torah. We had it in Pritzadik 2 weeks ago. In the Megid Gibbosolim, in the first volume, on page 95, 96, he has very interesting discussions that he had with Rav Moshe Feinstein about using electric shavers. Again, you have the Maariv Makom on the page in front of you, but it's long and I didn't feel like typing it up for you. I'm sorry. So I'll just read it to you. Okay? He says, here's what I want to testify to my conversations with Rav Moshe Feinstein regarding electric shavers. Okay? He says, first of all, when I was a bacher, when I was a young man, many people, most of the people I saw were clean shaven. Many American Jews were clean shaven. Va'posik Hagon Rav Yud Aleph Henkin. Who's that? Rav Yosef Eliel Henkin, one of the Gedolei Poskim of America. Va'acherim Hitiru Zos Mishum Sheyesh Chatzitza Hamechaseh Bein Asakin Lepon. How does the electric shaver work? They argue that what? That the cutting device is separated from the skin. Now again, the Chazon Ish said, I tested some of these shavers and it is touching my skin. I tested it with this ink test. But apparently, and it could get, we have to see, maybe there's machlokes mitzias, what type of shaver you're using. But Rav Henkin felt that because there is a shield that separates, right, the actual shaver device from touching one's face, so therefore, it's not a violation of destroying the beard. It doesn't get such a close shave. And in fact, he says, you can see very clearly that if you touch your face after using an electric shaver, versus touching a clean-shaven face, someone who used an actual razor, you will feel a difference. Now, there is an interesting discussion. Do you need to have enough hair that we can call it a shiur, a measurement, a fitting measurement, that it's called hair? Now, where do we find such a notion that there's a length that hair has to even be called hair? You have such a concept by Nazir. You have it in other areas where hair is the deciding factor. Okay? So there are poskim who held that if a shave is so close that you can't even bend over the hair, if the hair is not, you can't like grab it between your fingers, your fingernails, that is not even called hair. Rav Chaim Brisker didn't pass in that way. He quotes here in the Megid Gibbosolim, he says, I heard mi pi ha-grid mi Boston. I heard from Rav Yashav Ber from Boston. Who's that? The Rav. I heard from the Rav, b'shem Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim said, no, That the definition when it comes to shaving is not, is it called hair? The definition is, did you violate hashchasa? And Rav Chaim felt as long as you could feel something, as long as there's still something there, even if in other areas of halacha, with regard to nazir, for example, or to para aduma, right, where hair is defined by hair that you could actually grab onto or bend over, Rav Chaim felt that here it's not a din of seyar, it's not a din in hair, it's a din in what? A din in lo sashkas. And therefore, as long as you feel something, it's still called hair. Rav Moshe went on to eventually paskin, like the pashup shot in the Rambam, and that the Shulchan Aruch paskin, that as long as it's scissors, it's mutter. And Rav Moshe felt that electric shavers are mutter, and he writes here along Arichas, Rav Moshe says it's not using a scraping mechanism, it's using a cutting mechanism, a grinding mechanism, and Rav Moshe felt very strong. Halacha l'maisa. They even showed him, they asked him, how do you read the Rivan? He said, I don't read the Rivan that way. They said, what do you do with the Chafetz Chaim? He said, the Chafetz Chaim was talking about a different type of machine. Our cutting mechanism, he felt, was an entirely different thing. So they asked Rav Moshe, he said, Rav Moshe, so why don't you paskin, why don't you write a tshuva in the Igros Moshe being matir this device? Because he didn't. It's very interesting. That's why I'm reading, why didn't I bring you an Igros Moshe? Why am I reading from the same Megan Gibbosola? The answer is, because Rav Moshe never wrote a tshuva in Igros Moshe. So we're listening to first-hand testimony. But again, Rav Moshe didn't write such a tshuva. So he writes here, I asked Rav Moshe, why didn't you write such a tshuva? What did he answer? Rav Moshe says, I hold it's entirely mutter to use an electric shaver, but shagam she'ein kan lav shel hashchasa mikol makom tzuras hayehudi hu rak bezakat. The tzura of a yid is to have a beard. So Rav Moshe said, I'm not putting it in print. People who ask me, I'll give them a heter, 100%.
Is that Rav Moshe?
That's what Rav Moshe said. The tzura of a Jew is with a beard. So a certain Talmud Chacham came to Rav Moshe, and this is the last part of the piece. Here's how the piece ends. Here's how he concludes his writing in Megillah Yevamos Olam. He says, the Talmud Chacham asked Rav Moshe, Im yesh sad lahachmir shalo keheter, shalo keheter shalo b'inyan mechones giluach. So he said to Rav Moshe, he was hacking, he said, but Rav Moshe, come on. There's a lot of posts who would disagree with you. So, is this like a heter that you're forced to come up with because people are shaving anyways? Is there something to be machmir here about? Right? Again, not putting aside, again, Rav Moshe would say, ideally you have a beard because that's the tzura of a yid is to have a beard. But he was hacking Rav Moshe on a halachic basis. Rav Moshe, tell me, halacha l'maisa, what do you really feel here? Is it like a baal nefesh yachmir? Should I be machmir? Mitzad halacha? Is this like a forced heter? So Rav Moshe said, is there a tzad to be machmir? Rav Moshe said, yeah, I guess there's a tzad to be machmir. It's the same tzad to be machmir that one would be machmir not to cut challah on Shabbos because maybe it's a violation of kotzer. Right? If you hold that one should have a chumrah, maybe not to cut the challah on Shabbos because it's considered harvesting, so then maybe, yeah, then I guess there could be a tzad to be machmir not to rely. That was Rav Moshe's way of saying, I hold this is halacha l'maisa, I really hold of what I'm saying here. This is not a forced test. But again, Tzuras Yehudi. Tzuras Yehudi. Yeah.
The test that Lewis says that the Chazal used.
Yeah.
What rubbed off? Was using a different tool, or was the guard rubbing? When he was like moving across his hand, was the guard screaming?
Right, so it's a good question. Again, there's a lot of mitzias, machlokas here. Like, what is actually happening? Right? And what type of shaver was being used then? A lot of posts can talk about lift and cut being more problematic because of the nature of that word. You have to really know what the mitzias is here. Okay? At the end of the day, and again, I want to be very clear, this is a halacha shir, this is not a halacha l'maisa shir. Which means if you want to know what to do, go ask a rabbi, get a psak, and figure out what to do. But at least now you know what the story is. Okay? But I will show you the recommendation of the Minchas Yitzchak in verse 22, which I think is very chashuv, even for those who are lenient. He was not so inclined to be lenient. But he writes in verse 22, very interestingly, he says, those who rely on the lenient opinion, he says, realize there are better and worse shavers, lehalacha. Even if you're going to be lenient, there definitely are better ones and not as good ones. Asher ha-hefsik, right? That which separates the mechanism, the cutting mechanism from one's face, hainu achelek hanogeya ba'or ha-panim, yeha yotzer ova she'efsha. The protective shield should be as thick as possible. Right? Meaning the distance that's created between your face and the cutting mechanism, whatever the mechanism may be, should be as much of a distance as possible. So the newer and newer and newer shavers that are cutting, that are promising a closer and closer shave, all the more so, says the Minchas Yitzchak, don't use those. Okay, so even if you're going to be mekel, If you decide that your posek, whoever you ask your shilas to, gave you a heter, there's still what to be sensitive to, and not just to say, okay, a heter is a heter. There are better shavers and there are less good shavers, as far as halacha l'maisa. Yeah?
About the back?
The back of the shaver, right. So also, that thing is using a scissor-like mechanism, right? The way that it's working. But again, you have to ask. You have to ask halacha l'maisa, you have to ask a posek. I mean, there you have one blade that's moving and one blade that's stationary, I think, right? The back of the shaver. It depends. Different shavers are
actually moving.
They're not all created equal. So you have to really, you have to ask. So what are the options at the end of the day? So again, there are those who are mekil. There are those who are definitely machmer. There are definitely better options amongst the makilim. Are there other options? There is another option. There is another option that some people who are inclined to follow the psak of those poskim who don't allow an electric shaver. There are ways to remove the beard, right? There are certain types of creams that one could put on one's face to actually burn off the beard. Nair. Okay, certain yeshivish guys. I was talking to someone, I don't remember, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Someone was telling me that he was in YU. He had a roommate who like used that, and he was like the only guy in YU who actually did that. He was like a very yeshivish guy. And he would like put this stuff and like, mom, it burns your face. It burns the hair off your face. It's intense. Is that? Oh, so it's destroying, but it's not shaving. It's not something that's, again, it's used to remove hair, but it's not a shaving device. So can you use such a thing? So there's an amazing comment I found from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Look what he writes. It's very un-Shlomo Zalman-ish to say this, but in the Alicha Shlomo and Tefillah, where he talks about, are you allowed to shave before davening in the morning? And the pastor says, no. Just so you should know. And then in the footnotes, it says, you know what? Since we're talking about shaving, let's talk about Rav Shlomo Zalman's shita on shaving in general. And he writes there in the footnotes, when people would ask him about using this type of, again, cream that burns off the hair, Harei efshar lahorid hasaros ayedei mishcha, v'afshar ayedei zesoref haor. Right, they would ask Shlomo Zalman, should we use an electric shaver? Should we rely on the makilim? Should I use this stuff? It really hurts to burn the skin off one's face. So Shlomo Zalman said, it's true, it burned your face. Yet, it's worth it to suffer a little bit, to avoid the chashash iser daraisa, 5 points on the face, 5 different isurim according to the Kanakama. And look what he says. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to tell people, Harei Gehenim Sori Filiser. Gehenim burns more. So suck it up. Very un-Rav Shlomo Zalman to be so charif, but again, I guess he felt, again, this is serious stuff. We can't make light of the issue, even if we're going to be makel. And the Chazon Ish also, in his collected letters, in the first volume, in source 24, the Chazon Ish said about this stuff that one could put on one's face. He says, this sam, this ointment, right? Im eno sam, dot, 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 that's not my editing. I typed this, it's not my editing, that's how it's printed in the letter. It's not a, he doesn't want to say it. It's not a sam hamavas, is what he wants to say. It's not a cream of death, right? It's not a potion of death, but right, meaning it's not usur to use this, is what he's saying. Eno gam samachai. It's paraphrasing the Gemara. Right? The Torah could be a sam hamavas or a samachai. It's not a sam hamavas, he says, but it's not a samachai either. Umeod kashalaya davar, even though it's maybe technically mutter, it bothers me very much to see that Yeshiva Bacham are using this. She'enu mimidas hatznias, ve'enze levush Yisrael, rak lomdu mayagayim begola, this is a gayish azach, to walk around with a clean shaven face, v'sholim bezek kedusha, and it removes one's holiness. Right, the Arizal describes in Likutei Torah what it means that the beard of the lights, the oros that are coming through one's face, right, it's not a small thing. It's what my mind expressing itself through one's beard. Again, like the Arizal describes, it's not the way of Klal Yisrael to remove the beard. Yeah, Dif, sorry to keep you waiting.
It's all good. I remember learning last year in Parashat Yitro, a girl makes a nether not to use this sam, and Rashi explains that this sam is like this cream or this
okay.
Or whatever it is
that
removes the hair.
Okay.
So I don't know where that hair is.
Okay.
My legs aren't where it is, but let's say like a girl has like, you know, like has facial hair.
Okay, again, it's totally mutter. No one's saying it's us here to use this. Everyone's giving you... First of all, a woman's allowed to use whatever she wants in her face, right? I'll just be clear about that. This iser of the Torah only applies to men.
Oh, really?
There's a very interesting discussion about an Eved Kanani who's chayiv in mitzvos like a woman, right? So does an Eved Kanani have an iser to remove a beard? It's an interesting case. He's a man and he has a beard. On the one hand, he's only obligated in mitzvos like a woman. On the other hand... Right, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, the Rambam Paskin, that Eved Kanani cannot. But Mekiv Eger has a very interesting discussion in his comments on Mishnayos Brachos. Mekiv Eger wrote Tosafos on the Mishnayos, and in there he wants to maybe discuss how do we understand Eved Kanani's obligation. But a woman legamri is totally, she's allowed to round off the corner of her head, she's allowed to shave her beard if she has a beard, even with a razor. Okay, so it's not a discussion. Again, using a cream is totally mutter meikar adin. It's just it's something the Chazanish says is still something not recommended. To walk around clean shaven is a goyish thing, and it's not recommended. Yeah, revise. Yeah, sorry. Finish what you're saying.
The last thing is it maybe a surf if it's like a woman use it. It seems like it was a common thing.
Are you saying it's a woman's thing? No, again, those are societal things. If it's a type of thing that a man would use to. Enough men would use to remove facial hair with, then it's considered normal. If a man uses it to maybe to wax his legs or to move hair on his legs, that already might be what Ramakrish describes as, yeah, that's an expression of Begadisha, concern of a Begadisha. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak, you want to say something?
I'm pretty sure I saw the Rambam, he says something about if it's for business and if it's going to cause financial loss, then maybe you should be able to.
Again, we would never allow it in Isra Torah. Right, the halacha is very clear in your day. The Ramah Paskins, a person has to be prepared to lose everything that he owns, not to violate a los asay. So we'll never give you a heter to violate an isser just to save money. Okay, again, there are shitas that are makel, and maybe I can rely on the lenient shitas for financial reasons. But I can't. No one can be matir an isser daraisa just because of money. If your house is burning down on Shabbos and you can get everyone out safely. Right? And it's not a sukkah to fashos. You have to let the thing burn. You're not allowed to put out the fire. Okay, it's a wild idea, but it shows you how important and how chashuv a mitzvah, asay or even a los asay, right? Well, meaning more so for a mitzvah asay, you only have to spend up to a fifth. But for a los to not violate a los asay, you have to be prepared to give away everything that you own. If your boss says, tell me lashon hara about so and so, I'm going to fire you, you have to lose your job. Chavos Chaim Paskins very clearly that way. And that's the klal in mitzvahs lo sasei. Okay, we're at.
It's just a churin like this area, so it doesn't affect your eating.
Yeah, you're allowed to. The mustache is definitely. But there are shitas rishonim who hold that these points at the edge of one's mustache, the Rabbi Yochanan. So you have to be careful. Certainly, one could trim one's mustache with a scissor, like one could trim anything with a scissor. Only chashash is a scissor that can cut so close. Okay, we're out of time. We're over time. So we'll stop here. Maybe we'll finish it up another time. There's a whole second piece. But as far as the halacha lemaisa sections of our discussion, I think we had a pretty good overview. Again, you should ask your local posek what you should rely on. I know many of the Rashi Yeshiva in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chanan, some are clean shaven, and many permit one to use an electric shaver. And you should speak to your posek about what's right for you. Okay, shkayach.